Isaiah 66. You got that, don't you? It's in verse number 6 is where I want to start reading. Oh, glory. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath heard such a thing? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? You know, I just want to tell you. I just want to tell you something. We got this nice building here. Beautiful, lighted. Who ever heard of such a thing as us all coming in here and letting God have his way? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? We got all these churches represented tonight, and I know there's going to be visitors coming. It's okay. I'll work around them. But here we have all these home churches represented right here in this Shady Springs area. Some living right, living holy, doing the best they can. Consecrated, sanctified, shunning the appearance of evil, being living set apart. And here they are tonight in this tabernacle. They've shut down their churches. Here they are in this room. Pastors have all got together. Congregations have all got together. Here, who ever heard of such a thing as us allowing the Spirit of the Lord to move through this place and do something for us that we wasn't expecting? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? Who ever heard of such a thing as holiness people getting together and having a move of God when they got there? Who ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever heard of such a thing as that? Who ever heard of such a thing as hearing something in the preaching and grabbing a hold of it like a dying man drowned out in the ocean and getting saved? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? Who ever heard of somebody coming to a tabernacle that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and left full of the baptism? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? I mean, who ever heard of that? We don't do it like that anymore. That's not how it works. We get together, and the biggest thing that we enjoy talking about at the end of most of our services is how tight they was. I mean, that's the thrill of the hour, of how tight it was. And I tell you, it may be tight, but that ain't right. Who ever heard of such a thing as coming to church, opening a songbook, singing, "I've anchored in Jesus," and believing it? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? Who ever heard of such a thing as a young lady up here singing about the lion becoming a king or the king becoming a lion or both of them getting together and having a big time? Who ever heard of such a thing as that? I mean, I tell you, I don't know how to say it without just saying it. But sometimes our camp meetings and our services and our preaching and our singing and everything that revolves around anything that looks Pentecostal sure needs a good shot of divine intervention. I tell you, there ain't nothing deader in this world than Pentecostal people that ain't supposed to be. There's nothing more morbid in my mind than going to a hand-clapping, foot-stomping, hell-shaking, heaven-moving, old-fashioned camp-meeting service and not have one. You know, I can't understand it. I don't know if any of you all went to any trouble getting dressed tonight and looking nice and coming to the house of God and smelling halfway decent, but I put an effort to come to the house of God. And you know why I did that? Of course you did. I wanted to talk about your pews. And I wanted to talk about your building. And I wanted to talk about your piano. And I wanted to, don't look at me like I just got out. I made an effort to come to the house of God tonight. Because who would have thought such a thing? Somebody just might get healed in this room and I'll be here to see it. Or somebody might get the whole, hey, who would ever thought such a thing? We really need divine intervention in our churches. I mean, some of my pet mannerisms, some of my preaching, I'm not saying this to embarrass Sister Elaine, and she may not even remember it. But man, we had a May Fellowship meeting. Woo! We had a May Fellowship meeting. Tree top tall. I mean, it was great. The night services was great. The preacher was great. We had a big crowd. And then came the following Sunday morning. And now we'd like to turn the service to our pastor, Brother Joey Height, who's been here for 13 years now. And we're so used to him that we're about as thrilled when he's gone as when he's home. But we'd like to turn the service to him now. And I distinctly remember going up there, and Sister Elaine, Brother Carl, do you remember what I preached on? You remember that message about the wings? Those wings. And Sister Elaine kind of wondered. You know, she asked me that night at service, was I feeling bad Sunday morning? I just come out of the greatest meeting. You know why? Because I had about as much power with God as a hiccup. I mean, I felt about as anointed as a pimple. Don't sit there and look at me like that. If there's anybody sitting in this room that hasn't felt the Holy Ghost yet in this service, you're in the same boat that I've been in the past. And the only way you're going to get out of that boat is to get yourself in a place where there's divine intervention. You just don't want to have a move of God. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm going to tell you something right now, right here. Been better men than you preach this gospel about getting a hold of God. Been better men than you tried it, and they haven't moved me. Then congratulations. I want you to just get this right quick. Congratulations. I am at this present moment hereby ceasing any kind of communication to try to help you. If them other guys couldn't it, I ain't going to be able to do it either. But by the grace of God, I know there's a few folks in here that can. And there's a few folks in here that will. And that's been the people that's kept the door open and the lights on and the meeting rolling in the first place. And we have a right to have an old-fashioned camp meeting right here in this building. We have a right. We have, hey, listen. You know what the cry is from the charismatic pulpits? We need to have a move of God. So they take a big offering, build a gymnasium, and start their own ball team. But do you know what the cry is from most of our holiness and conservative pulpits? You want to hear what it is? We need a revival. We need a move of God. I guess I may be the only church in the country that can have a 2-week move of God at the next service. Wonder where half of the congregation is at. But I don't think I'm the only guy floating in that river. Are you listening to me? And so I done recognize right here that ain't nobody going to argue about the fact that we need a move of God. I mean, we ain't going to argue about the fact. It may shake you out of your seat. Or somebody sitting next to you may ask you if you'd please move so they could get out into the aisle. But there ain't nobody going to argue that we need to have an old-fashioned move of God. And that's because our pulpits... Hey, I know what the Bible says. Have you ever read it? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I know what the recipe is. But it don't do any good to have a recipe if you ain't going to mix it up and stir it up and find somebody that's willing to do what it says. Hey, listen, we've got the machinery to have one of the best meetings right here this week that you have ever had in your life. Well, explain that. I will. You got Brother Larry Dalton's church. You got the Olytic Church. You got Hilltop Church. And I'm not just leaving you out because I won't leave you out. I'm leaving you out because I can't think of you right now. Okay? Well, we got all these different churches, so we've got the right machinery. And I know we got the right knowledge. I believe we have the anointing and we have the know-how. So really, it just appears to me like we just need somebody in this house that'll lean back and say, if we already know what to do and how to do it and what ought to happen, then why ain't I right in the middle of putting everything that I got into having an old-fashioned move of God? And so we got the bowls for stirring. We've got all of our respective churches, all of our respective pulpits. We've got all the utensils that we could possibly need to have a camp meeting here. We got Carl Page. You talk about a spoon. We got Kevin Webster. I mean, we got all the utensils that we could possibly need. And buddy, if I want to talk about having the fire and the right place for the baking, I will put the altars of this tabernacle up against any altars of any tabernacle that I've ever preached behind or preached around. I have been in this building when one night with just a rope tied around my waist, the altar filled up with young people that wanted to sanctify and miss a burning hell. I was in this same house the next night when I just broke the rope out and flung it over my head and the altar filled up. So buddy, we don't need a better altar, and we don't need better churches, and we don't need better men. We just need somebody in this house that's tired of going to church without the touch of God. So, we've got the fuel, and we've got the ingredients. We got the mighty chefs to stand up here and give us our direction. But we got this one little problem. We got this wonderful, wonderful stove here, and we can't find anybody in the house that is willing to turn the burner on and cook it. Because somebody in the house is going to remember or be reminded of the fact that there's a price to pay if you have a move of God. There's a price to pay. We want somebody else to do the cooking. We want somebody else to do the shouting. We want somebody else to do the singing. We want somebody else to pull it down. Somebody else to bring it down. And the reason is we got folks in our churches that don't want to pay the price anymore to have an old-fashioned move of God. We've got mamas and daddies that are so carnal that they don't even care if their daughters or their sons have walked away from the faith. We've got pastors in pulpits that are so carnal. They don't care if there's a holiness standard within 27,000 miles of a church. We've got grandmas and grandpas so carnal that are allowing their grandkids to do things that they would have never allowed their children to do. You know what? We just don't want to pay the price anymore to have an old-fashioned move of God. But brother, sister, it's killing us. I'm going to clean house around here, and I'm starting with a pulpit. Woo! I'm telling you, we just got people that don't want to pay the price anymore. And man, that's all we're looking for, is somebody willing to pay the price. Somebody willing to say, I'll be the first one in the aisle to throw my hands in the air and shout all the way to the platform. We're just looking for somebody to pay the price. Somebody that's willing to lean back and say, if it's for me, I want it. If we can have it, I want to see it. If it ought to be here, I want to be right in the middle of it. Listen. 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 God's requirements for a move of God right here in this tabernacle are unalterable. Right here in this place are unalterable. I need to bring a hanger here. I may not walk far. Listen, you never know. I'll just take both of them. Hallelujah. How'd you like to have a double header on the first night of camping? What'd you shoot with the first night? Double barrel. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God's requirements are unalterable. You hear me? You didn't hear me. God's requirements are unalterable. What they did in the upper room to have a move of God, we can have a move of God here again if we do like they did in the upper room. His requirements are unalterable. When we change, God doesn't. When we change our mind, God doesn't. When we change our service, God doesn't. And some of those changes is what's affecting our lives. In our homes. Hey, listen. It's an indictment against Pentecostal people with a holiness life to come into a crowd with this many sanctified, bona fide, for the Holy Ghost, the children of the Lord, and have to lean back and say, can I get an amen? It's an indictment against the house of the living God for this many Holy Ghost filled believers to come to the house of God. And somebody has to say, raise your hands and praise the Lord. It's an indictment when the pastors have to pump and to prime to get you to want to even say, glory be to God. Hallelujah. It's an indictment. But let me tell you where the effects are. The effects are on our faces. Because the glow has been replaced with the glare. And we feel like we're in competition with that man on that deck instead of in the same battle, fighting the same devil with him. Spirits that come into our churches that says, move me if you can. Just get me to worship God if you can. I can't. I told you. You're in that crowd that I dismissed a while ago. But I'm with another crowd that I recognize knows what to do when the Holy Ghost of God settles down in an old-fashioned a tabernacle. And brother, sister, I need to get in a meeting like that. You listen. Brother Harold Esri has just been diagnosed with cancer. I was just with him last Thursday. Looks like it's lymphoma. Looks like it's the same cancer that killed my dad. I went through the whole thing again, sitting there when they came out and told me about it. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get in a meeting in Shady Springs, Indiana, that on the first night, somebody got under the power of the Holy Ghost and touched heaven, and he was healed all the way back down to Memphis, Tennessee. Well, now, brother, that's a pretty tall order. Well, I'm just going to have to remind you, we serve a pretty tall God, and we've got a pretty tall Holy Ghost, and he's given us a pretty tall blessing. Hey, we're the ones that live in God. I mention this often because it's often on my mind. My sweetheart battles Addison's disease. The miles get rough and the nights get tough and the days are sometimes get at this very camp meeting. There'll be services you look up and wonder where she's at. You won't be shopping. There's just a sickness and there's just affliction. And I was at the meeting. It was in 2004. We was in Shady Springs. And the Holy Ghost came down to the tabernacle. And before we knew it, somebody paid the price for an old-fashioned move of God. And she got her healing while somebody hollered hallelujah. I believe in stuff like that. That's what I came here for. Hey, I'm interested in your nice suit, and I like your nice car, and I like your musical instrument, but I like what God can do for His people if we'll pay the price. Hey, I know what the Bible says about humble. I know what it said. It's 2 Chronicles. Humble. I know what the Bible talks about when it says, make yourself humble. But really, that's not too high of a price to pay for Him to raise us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, contrary to what you think, you will not break if you let the Holy Ghost have His way in your life. Contrary to what you may think of your physique in the mirror, it will not hurt you. Turn loose and let go and let God have His way. It won't hurt you to shake loose. It won't hurt you to holler hallelujah. It won't hurt you to say praise God. The price of humility is what elevates us. It's, my wife knows this. She can tell. I'm really feeling too good to keep preaching. I really am. Because I've done convince myself that I'm standing right in the middle of a first night move of God. It ain't no reason not to have it. I mean, I wished everybody was as easy to convince as I was. But I've already stood right here and understand that if my people will pray, humble themselves and seek my face, I've already convinced myself that if you need something from God right now, you can have it. Brother Hutt, I was really expecting a few Greek words, a couple of Hebrew definitions, at least 3 points in your outline, and you haven't made 1 point yet. That's because I'm not trying to point to my text. I'm trying to point to heaven. From whence come my help? What cometh from the Lord? I'm just trying to get you to understand that if you will look to the hills, which cometh your help, you can have the very same visitation for the power. But Brother Hutt, it's been so long since I felt the Holy Ghost, I don't even know what to do. Brother Hyde, it's been so long since I felt the Holy Ghost. I mean, if I stepped out into the aisle, would something happen? Brother Hyde, it's been so long since I paid the price and had an old-fashioned move of God. If I went to running right now, would it do something for me? It's been so long, Brother Hyde, since I have felt the old-fashioned touch of God and paid the price. If I run down to that altar and threw my hands straight up, could I get a refilling of the Holy Ghost? Hey, Brother Hyde, are you listening to me? I'm just telling you that we are the only ones that can walk out of this building tonight feeling nothing. Pray, honey. Someplace along the line, there's got to be a certain amount of concern. And I'm going to tell you, flat-footed, right now, I am not a selfish preacher. Not a selfish preacher. In fact, if Carl Page or Kevin Webster or Keith Thompson or some of these boys jump up here right now and say, the Lord just gave me about a 10-minute word for this congregation, I would holler, glory be to God, hallelujah, amen, louder than anybody else in this house, because I am not a selfish preacher. I haven't come in here to make a selfish statement. I don't have one thing to prove. Neither have I come here to prove anything. In fact, I just come into this building recognizing I need a healing in my body. My wife needs a healing in hers. You need a healing in your marriage. Your children need to be in these altars. There needs to be a fresh anointing in your pulpit. And the deacons need a fresh touch of God. I'm just telling you, you gotta be concerned if you have a move of God. It's got to be a concern. Well, when I go to the house of God, brother, I pay my tithes, and I expect what? Fill in the blank. Come on, fill in the blank. Well, I expect to start church on time. Okay? Next. Well, I expect, bless God, 3 songs. Okay? Next. Well, I expect there ought to be some praying. Okay? We'll do that for you. Now what do you want? Well, I expect we might ought to take an offering. Okay, but you already gave this morning, so I know you won't give again tonight. Well, I expect there ought to be some specials. Man, it's getting quiet now. It's perfect time to turn the service to me. Woo! I mean, and then I think the preacher ought to get up and show us that he's been studying for 24 hours. I mean, I want to hear in 10 minutes everything that God showed him in the past week. I mean, I want to hear it, because you don't understand. McDonald's shuts down someplace around 10:30 or 11, and there's just too much to... Are you listening to me? I'm not exactly sure why you came up to the house of God, but I'm going to tell you this. If you came out for the right reason, he'll give you the Holy Ghost. If you came for the right reason, he'll heal your body. Correct me if I'm wrong, but not only have we lost the ability to cry, we've almost lost the ability to try. We have across this country some of the grandest tabernacles, some of the finest camp meetings. You know Granite City's going on right now? Huh? Brother Randy Webb, you know him? He ain't much to look at, but he's a good preacher. Close your eyes. You might really get something from God. That Randy Webb's preaching. The Millikens is preaching the day services. They probably practiced. I don't know. Right now, Savannah's going on. You know that? How many wish they were there right now? Listen, I'm telling you, there's some great meetings that's going on right now across the countryside. So what? So what? We are right here within these four walls. And there's enough praying Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled believers to have any kind of move of God that we need if we're willing to pay the price. Is this how it's going to be every night? Nope. It's going to get worse. I mean, is this what we've got to expect? Hey, I never professed to be Dake. I mean, I make a bunch of mistakes unlike Dake. I never professed to be like some of those guys. But I will tell you this right here, right now. If there's not a concern about what we do in this room, we could be in this room for the wrong reason. If we have such a computerized television generation that they've taken their entertainment and moved it to Sunday night into the house of God, we really need to go to preaching more against that kind of stuff. If we get all of our entertainment from somebody else doing the singing and the preaching and the praying, we've lost that participation. Hey, I didn't get in this thing to do it all, but I got in it to feel it all. And I got in it to have it all. And there's not anybody in this house right now that couldn't feel God if you wanted to. Well, Brother Hyde, you don't know what I've been doing. You think that bothers the blood? Well, you don't know what I've been wearing. Do you think that bothers the blood? Well, you don't know what I've been thinking. Do you think that affects the blood? Well, yeah, but you don't know what I've been listening to. Do you think that affects the blood? Well, yeah, but you don't know who I've been talking to. Do you think that affects the blood? The only way that we can affect the old-fashioned move of the Spirit of God, according to a New Testament verse, is carry a bunch of unbelief into the building. Even he couldn't do many mighty wonderful works because of their unbelief. But if I can get two or three people in this room right now that believes in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move of God could fall in this house, it could happen! Let me tell you, I don't think being thirsty is too high a price to pay for being quenched of the Spirit and the glory of God. And I don't think coming into the house of God with some kind of a longing down on the inside to have a first night of a camp meeting like we have never had before. I don't think that's a wrong motive. I don't think that's an idle motive. I don't think that's a selfish motive to come into this church on this Sunday night and say, I would love to see an old-fashioned return of the glory of God in this place and to rival anything. No, I don't think that's selfish. I think that's asking and seeking and calling. I think that's a letter to home that we'd really like to have a touch of God. You done? Nope. 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 I'm going to tell you something right now. In this house, in this room, if one person in this building is sick and tired of the fact that you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you haven't felt Him in so long that you can't remember what it's like to have to be led out of the building to your vehicle. If I could find one person willing to pay the price for a move of God, there ain't no telling what could happen in this building when the next person responded right behind you. If I could find one person in this building that would lean back and say, my preaching's been pretty stagnant the last little while, and I've been a dragging and a pulling, and I've beaten my head against every pulpit I could find just to get inspiration. Wouldn't it be something if somebody in this house right now leaned back and said, I'm willing to take three steps forward, make my way down to an altar, throw my hand straight up to God, and get a fresh calling of God on my life. How'd you like to be in a service like that? How would you like it to be your pastor? How would you like it to be the night speaker? How would you like it to be his wife? How would you like the next sound that you hear in this tabernacle to be somebody's deacon from one of the fellowshipping churches that leans back and says, I got to get a fresh touch of God on my life because I'm just marking time and I'm not enjoying this trip to heaven. How would you like to be in a Sunday night service like that? Music. I thought we ought to bow our head. I thought we ought to raise our hand. Hey, I'm not trying to get a vote here. I'm trying to get somebody that ain't felt the Holy Ghost in too long that'll get out of that seat and come down to this altar and pray, because you don't have to leave here like you came. Look out. Look out. Look out, folks. Look out, folks. Look out. It's going to happen again. The folks that always move will move. The folks that always come are going to come. The people who always get in will. The people who always let the Lord help them will. And the same group of folks that come service after service, set night after night, are going to leave in the same condition that they came through the door. Because they're not willing to pay the price for a move of God. I'm telling you, if you would be willing to step out of that pew and come down to this altar and raise your hands, you can have a visitation from God tonight. If you're not a Christian, if you are a sinner and you're in this tabernacle, the only reason you leave this tabernacle tonight on the same road to hell as you came in is because you ain't willing to pay the price. Anybody in this house that's willing to get in, get right, live right, get sanctified and allow the Holy Ghost in your life, they know one of you that can't make it to God's glory. They know one of you. And the only people that will leave on the same road to hell that they came is they're not willing to pay the price. Hey, the only people that will leave tonight without an old-fashioned touch of the Holy Ghost are the ones that would be content to leave without it. But that ain't me. Woo! That ain't some of these teenagers. That's not some of these sisters that have already been dancing under the Spirit of God. That ain't us, you hear me? That ain't us. This is our meeting.
This is our tabernacle. This is shady. This is our turn. This is our time. If anybody's going to shout, it's going to have to be us. If anybody has a move of God, it'll be right here among us. And I want to be part of it.
Two or three.